Carmen and Yurko.
Yurko's upstairs shooting it into my keister.
With Waddle and Sylvie.
Are you a bath guy? Will you every now and then take a little plunge in the bathtub?
I used to, and then I realized I was laying in my own dirty water.
This is Crosstalk with Carmen, Waddle, Sylvie, and Yurko. SPN 1000.
Time for Crosstalk. The boys are here to get you home on this Tuesday, and it's brought to you by IDOT's Life or Death Illinois. Over 300 people die each year on Illinois roads as a result of buzz, drunk, or impaired driving crashes. Learn more or share the story of lost love at lifeordeathillinois.com. Thank you to Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network for joining us as always. Thank you to Randy Merkin and Chris Black. Remember, tomorrow, Bub City, Rosemont. Come by and see us.
Can you get us some burnt...
burnt ends?
Burnt ends.
Love it, man.
Love
turkey,
that place,
love
too.
It. It's a great venue. Turkey and turkey tomorrow. We've got our Russell's Reserve pick that we did with Bub City from the Wild Turkey Distillery. And we are going to be debuting it. You can buy it at the Rosemont location, actually.
How much different is, and I'm going to ask you this question, and you're going to laugh at me.
I'm not going to laugh. Yurko's posing for pictures
how much,
with this couple in front of us.
What is the significant difference between that and, like, a good scotch?
Well, scotch is most of the time peated, first of all.
Okay.
Where
I love the peaty feeling.
You like that. You like the smoke.
I like the feeling of, like, swallowing a lit coal.
You like that. You'd like Lafroig.
You
should check out Lafroig. You would like that.
Yeah. David Flom served me a 30-year Macallan.
Yeah. Now, McKellen's not as peaty, though.
Like, I did this time.
That's not as peaty, because I think McKellen, I think, comes from the Highlands, I think, and it's usually not as peaty. But it's also a different grain. Like, they use malted barley when they make scotch.
I had a real nice smoky one at my buddy Matt Bedkowski's place. I'm going to find the bottle. I'm going to get it to you for Christmas.
Bless you, sir.
I'm going to find it.
Bless
I'm telling you, when you get and I don't know if it's Lafroig.
Lafroig's real
smoky. It could be, but this stuff was... Yeah. Whoa.
So they're in the same family?
Well, it's on the whoa meter.
It's whiskey, but it's just different. Like, they use malted barley. Bourbon uses corn and rye.
Isn't bourbon traditionally, like, sweeter?
Yeah, because the corn. It's all corn. Well, not all, but it's a huge... It's
the mash bill.
Over 51% of it, or at least 51% of it, is corn.
Right. How distinct is your palate when it comes to being able to differentiate?
When I heard him pick up pomegranate in one of them, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, he's making it up half the time.
How's this guy get pomegranate?
You know what I got here? I got a little bit of hickory nuts.
I would say stick. There's got a little cinnamon stick in here.
I taste hickory nuts.
I don't even know what a hickory nut is.
I don't either.
I wouldn't say it's great. I would say it's okay.
He's got a fine palate.
I'd say it's all right.
The day you said s'mores, I go, s'mores?
Here's the one thing I could
tell. A swill whiskey that, you know, I mean, it's a cheaper whiskey. And they're not
Granddad.
Okay.
Bottom shelf Old Granddad or two-year-old Jim Beam. You know, like that stuff is that I could tell you
that's
the difference.
For mass consumption mixing with
cold. Here's what I could do. If you're having more than one.
Right. If you put a two-year whiskey in front of me and a two-year bourbon and a 12-year bourbon, I'd almost guarantee you that I would tell you.
Well, let me ask you
almost
this.
Guarantee.
What about a guy like me who, when you put down the bourbon, and I was tasting the bourbon, and I understand that it's all the rage, but I'm drinking it, and I'm like, okay, but if you give me a glass of Crown Royal, I'm like, this is good.
Really?
Like, I love Crown Royal.
He's a Canadian whiskey guy.
Like, I mean, it's not as harsh.
It's watered down. It's 80 proof.
Okay, well, that's still, it gets the job done, a few glasses of that.
I like
barrel the taste.
Proof. Plus, I think with Canadian whiskeys, kind of like some Irish whiskeys, they could add things to it. They could add color, and you can't do that in America. Bourbon, American whiskey is the most regulated of all the whiskeys in the world. You cannot add
anything.
So you're
saying they're cheating in Canada?
I'm not saying they're cheating, but I think they can, and I'm not an expert on Canadian whiskey, but I think they can add stuff.
So Crown Royal better because it's watered down.
It's
not
watered
as harsh.
Down,
you know
and
what
they
it
could
is?
Be coloring it or flavoring it with something.
It's the hot
I don't know.
Dog of whiskeys. They're putting things in there. You have no idea what
but
they
it
are.
But it tastes so damn good.
American dogs are great.
Wrap it up.
American whiskey, you cannot add anything.
So what are the Irish doing?
They add a lot.
Distilled, right?
Like Jameson, they could add color. They can add.
They're cheating in Ireland.
That's not very regulated.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You watch your mouth.
The American whiskey industry is very regulated because they wanted consumer protection.
You want a piece for me?
One of the very first consumer protection acts in this country
was
the Bottled and Bond Act in the late 19th century. It was
one of
the first to protect people from getting fraudulent and potentially
dangerous
whiskey. That is absolutely correct. So it's a big part of American history.
That's right.
Bourbon and rye. That's our drink. Everybody should drink
bourbon
it.
Bourbon and rye.
It's
and
very American.
I love that you have the passion for
and
it.
And running the moonshine down in the Carolina Hills.
It's a very acquired taste
it
for
is.
Me.
Like, there's no doubt. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Junior Johnson.
So, boys, welcome.
Yes.
Last night we got an epic game. I mean, that's like an all-timer
that's
for Monday
right.
night.
Bulls and Trailblazers.
I shouldn't say epic game. You got an epic performance.
Right.
I mean, like what Lamar Jackson is doing, what that offense is doing is sensational. They never kick. They never punt. They just go for it.
That's
like,
the job you want. Punter and the long snapper on that Baltimore team. You never get to work.
It's the most fun any
Sam
team's
Cook's
having
still
right
the punter
now.
There? Sam Cook?
I don't
for
even
the
know.
Ravens?
He's a great singer.
They never use him.
What's going to be great next week is the coaching matchups between the 49ers and what they do and the Ravens and what they do. Because Greg Roman's done as good a job as anyone in all of professional football putting Lamar Jackson and that offense in a position to do the great things they're doing.
Here's what I want to know, though. We were just talking about the bourbon experts and how regulated and everything it is.
Yeah.
And how you can taste the hidden pomegranate, and everything like that.
Liar!
How could a guy who is so good at their job and multiple guys look at Lamar Jackson and think he's a wide receiver? And yet when it plays out, like these are experts. I'm not talking about the guys who write the column. I'm talking about a Hall of Famer or other guys who passed on him in the first round. How could it be such an inexact science? Why isn't there a better way? Many of these people would have drafted Lamar Jackson and never let him play quarterback. Now he's the MVP in his second year starting.
The team that picked him played him at quarterback.
Ozzie right. Newsome.
That's your explanation.
Ozzie Newsome fell in love with him.
So
like,
how
what did he see?
How does
right?
the football industry get better
at
identifying guys? I'm hoping with what happened in Arizona this year, with a guy who's short, the question was, you have this player who's under a certain height, can't play the position, can't play. And now all of a sudden you have him in a situation. And again, I don't know how great he's going to be for how long. I don't know how long Lamar Jackson is, but I think we got to stop fitting people in this tight little box and saying this is the way the quarterback position is and always will be looked at. And I think there's many different ways you can do it. And Waddle's always said that there are certain skills that you still need to do. Lamar Jackson has shown that he could pass within the pocket. But I'm just saying...
He leads the league in pocket touchdowns.
But I'm just saying, though, the industry needs to get off their high horse. Because there were many of those people saying that Lamar Jackson couldn't even play the position, let alone... Be a back. You know
but,
what I'm
but
saying?
For every guy that they're wrong about, aren't they right most of the time? Weren't they all right about Tim Tebow? Weren't they all? I mean, I could give you.
Well, listen,
I could give you 50 guys they were right about. There's always an outlier. Lamar Jackson appears to be the outlier. That's why it is so hard.
Well, here's why it works, because the Ravens decided to completely adapt their offense around his skill set. So if another team took Lamar Jackson and didn't do what the Ravens did, maybe he wouldn't have as much success as he's having now.
But if you see that finished product and you say, okay, all I need to do is cater my offense around it, why wouldn't you be in a hurry to cater your offense around that?
So we're seeing
something we've never seen before.
I think it's hard because finding the outlier can be hard.
Yes.
I think that's why. And like, it's a valid question. Like, how could everybody be so wrong? I think the answer is because he's rare.
Yes.
And most of the time, they look at that skill set and they say, can't play quarterback in the league. And let's face it, most of the time, they're right.
Well, and there may be guys that fit the same profile but aren't as elite as him that will fail. So I think the league is – it's the reason why I think that – I mean, like when we go back – and I said this when the article that Dan Wiederer and Rich Campbell wrote, I said that I thought that going back even to 2017 – I don't think the league had evolved to the point, there where, you know, they thought that whether it was Deshaun Watson or it was Patrick Mahomes or any of these quarterbacks, that the style they were running in college, it didn't fit in the NFL. Yeah. And look at how far we've come even in a short period of time. Like you said, with Kyler Murray was the first overall selection, played 1 year, and they tailored the offense to him. That's what you have to have. But listen, teams are doing it. I mean, teams are running things now that fit the quarterback's elite skill set.
Not only that, what's more egregious? missing a Lamar Jackson and him going into second round to Baltimore and Baltimore doing what they do, or 12 rounds go by and you miss on Tony Romo?
No, right. Or yeah, right.
Yeah, or Tom Brady.
Tom Brady goes
the
at the end
of all time.
He was still a first round pick. Right. He was drafted at the end of the first round.
But how does that miss a Kurt Warner, Tony Romo, all those guys?
So you ask yourself, which is more egregious?
Missing
on Lamar Jackson or the drafting of Jamarcus Russell?
But Yurko, my point is not just about Lamar Jackson. It's everything that you said. How could the greatest of all time go 199? How could Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, not have a spot in the league for a while? How could Lamar Jackson?
Because some guys look the same, and there's nothing there to differentiate them from one to the other.
The experts need to be better or open up their minds
or do something
different.
Like you say about Ashland. You said it about Ashland. These guys that don't play at the top level. Anybody, Kurt Warner at Northern Iowa, my guy Tony Romo at Eastern Illinois, there's always going to be a check against them because they didn't play at a Big Five conference. They didn't play at the 1A level.
Yeah.
There's always going to be that bias.
Listen, and you can find talent, but there's two aspects to it. You find it, and then you got to develop it.
Yeah.
So you could take Lamar Jackson and put him in another team that isn't the Ravens, and they may not be able to develop him the way that Greg Roman
has. And then you got to have the intangibles, the stuff that you can't see. Yeah, the stuff that Boylan loves.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't know what he loves.
I'm going to tell you, though, it separates those that can be successful and those that are not successful. Why are there guys with less talent that end up sticking around in the league for an extended period of time?
Because they have something.
Because of the intangibles. Which can't be measured.
Right.
Which scouts, when they talk to people, try to figure out whether they have it or not.
I get that.
See, like, if you would have taken Lamar Jackson and, let's say, put him in the Rams, I don't think Sean McVay would have done what Greg Roman's done. I mean,
you don't think so?
No,
he would have drafted Lamar Jackson at the end of the first round.
He'd be in the same room with Brandon Cooks and Corey Kupp.
I think Sean McVay has a style that he runs.
Right,
so
exactly.
I mean, for whatever reason, he wouldn't pick him. I think there are other teams that would do the same. I'm not telling you they're right.
It's just,
but that coach and that system is. Like, that team in Baltimore is built. They've got, like, four or five tight ends.
Like, there are guys who could rebuild a jet engine. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Who are so good at what they do. But yet, there's these experts at football can't identify the greatest quarterbacks we've had.
That's why it's hard.
It's unbelievable.
And it's a crap.
It's a weird conversation that I have with myself on the couch. I'm like, how can all these, quote, experts get this so wrong?
They got it right. It's a good question. And then Harbaugh.
You find it in every sport, though.
You do, of course.
And I think we're seeing it now with the Trae Youngs of the world. People were scared of Trae Young because of his size. People were scared of, what's his face, in New Orleans who's injured, my guy.
Pete Maravich.
No. The rookie who's out with a knee injury.
Zion.
Like, Zion. Oh, well, Zion won't be able to jump and outpower guys. You know, I think if you identify the talent, you have to believe that if you put them in the right system, they're going to succeed.
Well, my guess
like
is
Ryan
Zion.
Pace talking about Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, well, that's true. But there's another.
Guys miss,
but I would also argue that you know what? Matt hasn't done a really good job this year getting the most out of what Mitch's skill set is. And it may be a limited skill set, but there is. Again, identify talent, you have to develop talent.
That's one thing I do love about Harbaugh. I think John Harbaugh can really coach, man. I mean, like, and he's had some down years.
He's a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
I mean, he just knows, like, how to adapt. I think it seems that he's willing to adapt anyway. And this idea now that he's talking to the economics guy, he's all in. He goes, hey,
he was this close to getting let go.
I know, and that's why I'm impressed with him, because it's not just, I'll do what I always do.
But you know what he has too, Carm? He's got a front office that is
it's pretty
elite.
Good.
I mean, it was Ozzie Newsome for how long? 2 decades?
Yeah.
And then it's the kid, Eric DaCosta, or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
Ozzie Newsome's handpicked guy. Yeah.
I mean, that's Eric DaCosta. And I read the article. It was like, it wasn't like they were totally in love with Lamar Jackson, because they kept moving back. And finally, they looked at the situation and said, you know what? He's a hell of a player.
You get the fifth year.
And we're going to do that.
That's the big thing in popping back, you know, getting that first.
No, he keeps flying like this. It's not going to matter. But, yeah, I mean, ideally, when you do it, you're right.
If you know what's going to be
worse
fun?
Worst comes to worst, you get the fifth year.
It's going to be fun to continue to watch him. It's also going to be fun to watch teams try to come up with some way to to
Why
slow him down.
Why doesn't anybody do what the Chargers did in the playoff game? Is it because
they brought in six or seven defensive backs.
No linebackers. Four down linemen,
well, I mean, if you do that, I think Mark Ingram may run it up there.
That's what Yurko said. He said, then the problem now is it's just handed off to Mark
Ingram. There's another example of a front office finding the right pieces to the puzzle because they added Mark Ingram as a free agent.
You know, because maybe they knew what happened in the playoff
game. For a small cost.
Yeah. But Waddle, this is what you say all the time. This is what's driving me crazy about these talent evaluators. You would watch Khalil Mack as a Bears fan, and you would say, why aren't they double-teaming him, Minnesota Vikings, every single down? And you would yell, and you would say, why aren't you running on John Lester every single time you get a guy on first base? These guys are scared of their shadow.
No, that's true.
You know, and then, sure enough, they started double-teaming Khalil Mack, and what happened?
Well, he's been neutralized quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, like, it just could be that these coaches are so damn slow to the party.
Maybe.
They're scared to do something unconventional, Carm.
I mean, nothing.
Even though the tape's out there.
Nothing else is working. You might as well look at the one team that figured out how to stop him and go, hey, let's try this.
Yeah, but Phillips is no dummy, you know? I mean, like,
right.
But I don't think there's going to be a rush to try to bring in an option quarterback that that guy is a unicorn.
Yeah, he's...
You may find guys that are less skilled than him and you may be able to build your offense around him, but it takes a great front office, it takes a great coaching staff, and it takes a unique talent.
And as great as it all is, there's still risk involved for Baltimore because he's one hit away. Playing the way he does, he's one hit away from all this.
But every quarterback is. Isn't every guy? I know he puts himself in danger of that.
Right, exactly. He's putting himself in danger
way more often.
Yeah.
Way more often.
Now, going back.
He's already in the top. Isn't he? They say he's in the top 50 in the history of the NFL in rushing yards for a quarterback. Something like that.
I'm crazy.
Could be.
He's averaging over 7 yards a carry.
It's crazy.
Now, going back to last year. The Bulls' last 37 games, they have one winning streak back-to-back.
It's nuts. Waddle and I are on the same page.
They've won back-to-back once in the last 37 games.
We were excited at the very least to go home for these 82 games, and we knew there were going to be growing pains.
You were?
Yes, we knew there would be growing pains, but that they would be a fun watch this year.
Yes.
That they would be a competitive, fun, watchable group.
No. What made you think that?
Well, because you had some athletes. You had Kobe White. You had Lowry, who's taking another step, we hoped, in the third year.
Yeah, Lowry was you know what Lowry Markkanen's averaging in his last three games?
I saw you tweeted, I think.
Seven points.
But is he hurt? Neil and Stace were talking about last night. Is he hurt?
Then sit his ass down.
Yeah, you got it. That's what Neil said.
All they did was complain about how Tibbs was running these guys to the ground, and yet if they have their quote, guy that they think is going to be their best, and if he's got a core injury, get him out.
That's what Neil said last night. He said, you might have to, Lowry or somebody's got to say, what's the real story here? Because if he's hurt, he shouldn't be playing that badly. 7 points a game?
I mean, look, this is a disaster.
Disaster.
How do you come out with 34 points and 17 rebounds in the opener and not come close to replicating it again?
Unless you're hurt.
So is he?
That would be one explanation that would resonate at least a touch.
I mean, he's been terrible.
Yeah.
It's look, nothing will change. People say to me, but I don't know how many times I could repeat myself, but because I complain about Boylan, people think I'm blaming Boylan. Believe me, it starts at the top.
Hell yeah.
Boylan's a Bevington basketball coach. Yes. He's Terry Bevington.
That's so bad.
Okay, but just like, who hired Terry Bevington as a solution?
Jerry Reinsdorf.
Jerry. All right, so it starts at the top. And it starts at the top, and those guys have embraced the front office that has continuously gotten it wrong. Guys who won't even put on a coaching search, they hire a guy without interviewing guys.
They always have a guy in mind.
Right,
You know, it's
like what say what you want about, like Yurko calls my guys in the Cubs the Starbucks boys.
Right.
Say what you want.
Yep.
They knew David Ross was going to be the guy, right?
Yes.
They were grooming David Ross. They still brought Joe Girardi in for 8 hours to pick his brain.
Yeah.
Joe, how can we develop our players better? If you are our managers, how can our hitters take the next step? Joe is an analyst in baseball and is the Yankees manager. What did you see when you played against the Cubs? Hey, Gabe Kapler, you're probably not going to get the job. Gabe, you played against the Cubs twice a year. What did you see? How did you guys get Chris Bryant out?
Yeah.
Let's bring in the guy from Houston. What does Houston do to develop their players? They pick their brain.
Teach them how to cheat.
That's true. But did the Bulls even go through go through any sort of a coaching search
the last
or interview
process.
Two times in a row. They didn't sit any smart guys down and say to themselves, how do we develop our players better?
Hell no.
How do we run a better offense?
Hell no.
How can we scout Jeff players
Garland's
better?
In the street.
Yeah. Jeff Garland. He's not in the street, thankfully.
He's hot, man. Listen
street.
To him. He's going
he
now.
It's common sense.
I don't get it either. I was ranting to York. They're maddening. I mean, they really are.
They took the excitement right out of me.
And they've got my head spinning. Like, part of me thinks, like, who's Zach LaVine to complain about getting
You're
benched?
You're right about that. Yeah.
And then, another part of me thinks, like, who does Jim Boylan think he is to be, you know, I can't figure it out.
There's not
I think
a guy
they all
on that
stink.
Team that doesn't deserve to be benched at times.
I don't got my head is spinning.
But you,
with
like
them.
Waddle said about Lamar Jackson, you've got to still develop the
yes.
players.
Yeah.
And they don't have a capable guy in that building to develop them.
I mean,
they don't.
Can John and Gar, this is what I asked Eric. I mean, 1-2-game winning streak in a half a season
it's
going back to last year. Can you really think that this guy is the answer?
Hell yeah.
But I don't know how they fire him. I mean, how could they do
that? Well, I don't think they're paying him very much, are they?
No.
I mean, you could. What do you mean?
Well, fire him. How many coaches can you fire?
I don't know.
It won't change until they get a new set of eyes to run the organization. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to continue to watch because I love the Bulls. I'll continue to go. I know that irks people, but it's how I'm going to take my kids to games.
Yeah, you want
to
go, you go.
But it still pisses me off.
Ugh. All right, boys. Garland's coming in, right?
Yeah, Jeff's here.
Okay.
Jeff Garland.
He's already here?
Right there over your shoulder.
There he
right?
is.
Come on.
He looks like the Terminator.
Sunglasses.
He's a Terminator.
Look at him.
Wow.
I'll be back.
So we're going to talk about he hates the Bulls, too.
Yeah, I know he does.
He hates the Bulls.
I know.
And yeah, Carmen and I were at his Netflix special.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
We saw it live.
It was great. We got hooked up by the man himself.
It was awesome.
So then we're going to talk about Curb. We're going to talk about he's a Bears season ticket holder.
All right.
And he's going to entertain you next.
All right. Jeff Garland's going to come in with the boys next. We'll see you tomorrow. Bub City Rosemont. Turkey and Turkey. Do not miss it. The whiskey that we picked from Wild Turkey will be on display. This is a single barrel we picked with Eddie Russell himself.
Eddie Russell.
Yes, the legend from Wild Turkey. So hang with us tomorrow at Bub City in Rosemont. Yurko's going to drive because it's the day before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Waddle and Sylvia are next on ESPN 1000.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Can we talk about Chicago teams?
We certainly can.
They're kind of good.
I'm not a Bulls fan. I was a Bulls fan for many
Why
years.
Why are you not a Bulls fan?
Because I don't respect the organization. Mm. I don't like what they've done with the organization. I am all in and have been in for a couple years now prior to this excitement, all Clippers. I feel nothing for the Bulls. Mm. That's my L.A. I live in L.A., so I need to have one team. Bears, I'm sticking with. Cubs, I'm sticking with. You know, Blackhawks, but yeah.
Here's my issue. First of all, I was on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday.
What'd you wear? Cotton? Something comfortable?
No. I was talking to him on the phone.
It was a joke that went over Stephen A's head a little bit.
Yeah, he didn't pick up on it. It was a good one.
It was.
It was good.
It was.
Yeah, just to slow him down.
Yeah. That was.
I love, by the way, and I'm a yeller, but I love Stephen A.
We do too.
I disagree with him, I can't get enough of him. He is so entertaining.
He's a good guy away from the studio as well.
Yeah, he's not like what you think.
No.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah. Right.
He's aces, man. And he's passionate, you know?
That's the thing. Like, so many people think he's got all these opinions and that he would be a jerk.
He's not.
But nope. Whenever we call, he's willing to come on. He's one of the nicest guys.
Hard worker, too.
Off the air, too.
No, he's great. Yeah. He's totally great.
Jeff Garland's in studio right now, of course.
Yes.
Chicago sports super fan.
Yes.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. His brand new special is out on Netflix. Carmen and I were both there with Adam Abdallah, our executive producer. We watched it get filmed, and it is absolutely awesome.
Called
Our Man in Chicago.
Yeah.
I was digging that up right
I know,
there, the title.
And the timing was exact with you and I saying.
Yeah, welcome.
By the way, as always, an honor and a joy to be here. It's true. It is true, man. I will do this show forever. forever. It's just joyful, man.
Well, we appreciate well,
that's,
that.
That's flattering. We appreciate that for sure.
And I listen to you in my Tesla, as a rich man does.
Are you going to get the SUV, the big one?
No.
No?
No, I'm a normal person.
Okay. Because I didn't think the SUV Tesla looked very appealing.
By the way, the SUV and the truck, the point being is I don't want anyone looking at me.
Right.
In L.A., if you drive a Tesla, no one notices.
You just blend right in?
You blend right in. There's plenty of Teslas. And it's fun to just pull in my garage, plug the sucker in, boom, diggity. And I now have Tesla solar panels.
Ooh, nice.
So it charges from the sun.
Charges from the sun. I'm charging my car from the sun.
How long can you drive without having to...
14 years. You can drive for 14 years straight. That's how much the charge is. They've really come a long way.
No, I'm saying if you wanted to drive from your house to, let's say, for some strange reason, Montana, would you have to stop every so often?
Yeah, it goes about, you'd want to refill, per se, every 250 miles.
Okay, and then how long does it take for a full charge?
It depends. Like, the supercharging station's not long.
Okay.
It's a delightful, hello, sir. See, in the window here, I see the people.
Everyone.
They greet me.
One of the best views in Chicago.
It's fantastic. I mean, come on. Across from the Chicago Theater. No, it is a great view.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's joyous to be here.
It is all Chicago, and you are all Chicago, and that's what we love about Chicago. You.
Speaking of that, I heard that you were saying you didn't feel warm at the Bears game.
Okay, so your listeners will know if they hear me on here. I bought season tickets from a family that's had them for 70 years. I made a big mistake this year. I gave away most of my September and October games.
Why?
What was I thinking? And now I'm going to go to the Chiefs game, and I'm going to the Cowboys game, and then so I'm at the game versus the Giants, and there's people without jackets on, with just t-shirts, and they're like, "Oh, what a beautiful day!" I'm wearing like a big puffer jacket, and at halftime I left because I was too cold. Completely true. I hit my winter wall, and that for me is being a Chicagoan. I'm kind of embarrassed.
Well, and I'm a wuss when it comes to the weather. But that was a 50 degree sunshine day last month, and it feels even warmer
I'm just
now.
Saying, I was cold. And so...
And those prime 50-yard line seats that are right in the sun?
Literally, I'm six rows up. If you throw... I throw my right hand down like a karate chop. Straight ahead, I hit the 50-yard line. I'm right behind the visitor's bench. Everyone I bring is like, are you kidding? That's what they say all game. You're kidding, right? You're kidding. They're amazing. So, I will be there next year through Halloween. After Halloween, there'll be no more appearances at Soldier Field. Unless we're in the NFC Championship game.
Has Mitch steered you down yet with a pass where he just locks eyes with you and he doesn't look at anybody else and just throws the ball?
Locked on me?
Yeah, right.
Now, that would be really embarrassing.
By the way,
let me just say something.
Yeah.
Look, you guys, everyone's got their opinions about the Bears. I'm going to be really... There have been worse quarterbacks than Mitchell Trubisky who have won the Super Bowl. That's my very strong opinion.
Who?
Go through history.
Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer.
Was Brad Johnson worse than Mitch Trubisky?
Yes.
I don't know, Jeff.
No, here's my thing. And I watched him play. They changed the way he plays this year. I blame everything on the play calling. Everything on the way they set it up. And yes, we're having some problems in the offensive line, but I blame most of it on the play calling. Some of it on the offensive line. I don't blame any of it on Mitch Trubisky. You know why? Here's why. He's not supposed to be good. He's not supposed to know what he's doing. Yes, if you compare him to Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, yes, that hurts. And I agree. And do I think the GM should be fired because of it? Oh, yes.
So you would fire Pace.
Well, he would have been fired. Yes. Oh, God, yes. I would fire Pace. I'd fire everyone.
There's you would fire everyone right now.
Except Mitch.
No, except for our defensive coordinator. He'd be the new coach.
You would make Chuck Pagano the new coach.
Chuck Pagano would be the new coach in a millisecond. And by the way, the defense is not disappointed. Let me tell you something. Do you know how hard it is to be running out there all game long? Boom. Oh, we're back out there? Boom. I didn't even... boom. That is still an excellent, excellent defense. And Pagano does a great job Sorry, I would fire everybody. Everybody and their next-door neighbor. Literally, by the way. Pace, his next-door neighbor, would go, I lost my job. And I go, yeah, because you're Pace's next-door neighbor.
You know what you are, what we call you? What? We call you a Trubisky truther.
Yeah.
You still believe in the falsehood that is Mitch Trubisky.
No. Do I think he'll ever be a good quarterback? No, I do not. Okay.
You're just saying they could win despite him, or in spite of him.
In spite of him, they could win. They could consistently have a solid offense. Explain to me the running game. Explain to me so much. And by the way, the Bears have a lot of good receivers. They really do. Sorry. It's a big bowl of wrong.
You know what? We were clamoring for an offense that ranked right in the middle of the pack this year in yardage and points, because last year they were 21st in the league.
Right.
By the way, is that asking too much? No, it's not.
No, that's not.
No.
What the hell's going on?
And if they were middle of the pack in yards and points, they would be averaging like 354 yards and 23 points a game.
They'd have three losses, maybe two losses. Yeah, 8-3. Yeah, no, it's completely true. And by the way, I have great respect. Like, for example, I know in my business, certain people, if they're on a show, in a movie, they need help to get through. You need to write for their strengths and do all the things. So I know that Trubisky needs to be taken care of. You've got to put out a thing, a program that works for him. Come on.
See, it's your business is just like our business in football. You have to identify talent.
You have to support them.
Then you have to
play to your strengths.
You have to develop
them. Figure it out. Develop them. Yes. It's exactly the same. Anything is like that. And the Bears are doing a bad job of it. But here's where the Bears make their big mistake. And this is what hurts deep. They don't make changes in the organization the way they should. Like, they wait a long time to make any changes.
What we were saying.
Fox was 2 years too
late.
Well,
he was only here 3 years.
I know. After the first year, I would say, see you later. Goodbye. I don't know what's going on with you. But
Do you know that John Fox bought Waddle's house?
Yeah, when he came to town.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Did you have any conversations about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've become good friends.
Is he living here still?
No, he moved back to Charlotte. Where he has a home as well.
Because he was a Panther coach.
We wanted to make it like the Bears White House, where every now coach would have to sell it to the next coach, and they would live in Waddle's old house.
Do you see how funny that is?
That's
very funny.
No, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Once I sold it, I don't care. You can sell it to whoever you want.
Whoever you want.
You sell it whoever you want.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, we were talking the other day about Ted Phillips has been their president forever. He doesn't know anything about football.
He knows nothing about football. He's the Crane Kenny of the Chicago Bears. And by the way, Crane has been nothing but nice to me, but I don't know what he does.
But the thing is, though, at least you have Theo as the baseball president.
Right. Yes, exactly.
To offset that. And I like Crane,
and
too.
And Theo knows everything about baseball.
Right.
He didn't play, but he probably played as a kid.
Has he lost a little knowledge, though, lately?
I was going to say, frustrated are you with how their season ended?
Well, frustrating, yes, but it happens. It happens like the way the Blackhawks are bad. They're not bad because they have a bad organization.
Yeah.
They're bad because it's just a cycle. It happens. And the Blackhawks are going to be good again. I have complete faith in them. I don't have faith in the Bulls, as you guys know. I'm all in on the Clippers and my friend, Mr. Steve Ballmer, who I love. The richest owner in all of sports, not just and he's passionate about the team.
He's one of the worst dancers on the planet.
By the way, I will take an owner who is a good owner and a horrible dancer
any day
of the week.
That's a good point.
Me too.
A terrible dancer. I know that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't dance with him. I'm a delightful dancer.
Are you a good dancer?
Yeah, but I have to say the Cubs season, and by the way, I'm all Ross. I'm happy, and I think he's going to be great, but I love Madden. And I'm going to be all in on the Angels.
So you'll be an Angels game.
If the Angels get two good pitchers, look out.
So you've left the Bulls and now you may leave the Cubs?
No, I'm never leaving the Cubs.
Okay, good.
Never leaving the Cubs. Bears probably never leave. Cubs never leave. Blackhawks and Bears, if they sold tomorrow to jerks, I'd leave. But you could see sell the Cubs to a jerk and I'd still stay.
You've already offended one person today.
Who?
Ryan Pace's neighbor listens to the show, apparently. I did not know this.
By the way, I don't know Ryan Pace. He could be a brilliant football guy who just screwed up with that one move. But to me, that is like the guy on the Giants taking, what's his name? This Daniel Snyder. Well, not Daniel Snyder. What's it
called? Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones. And he turns out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's going to be really good. It's crazy. He put everything on it, and he was attacked. We trade 900 draft picks for a mentally challenged young lady with a mustache, and nobody says anything until he's crap.
So Thomas lives in Lake Forest. Apparently, he's next door neighbors with Ryan Pace.
Is it really?
And he's afraid he's going to have to lose his job as well.
Tom, are you really Ryan Pace's neighbor?
Yeah, and I'm a pediatric orthodontist, and I wouldn't want to lose my job because you're not happy.
By the way, you sound like an orthodontist. All right, open up. Let's see what's going on in there. That's what you sound like. You sound like young people look at you to help their mouths.
Well, they do, and we have Invisaligns now, and just more of an aesthetic advantage for people that are in professions where they need to lead with their teeth.
Okay, and what is Ryan Pace like as a neighbor?
Well, he's a fantastic neighbor, and that's what I was hoping to get into with you. You know, he has two dogs. One's a Shiba Inu named George, I assume for Mr. House, and another one that's a rescue animal. And he picks up after this dog, both of them constantly.
Barehanded or with a bag?
He uses a bag. I don't understand that kind of humor. I would never be fired because of Mr. Pace. He's been a great neighbor.
You would be fired if I was in charge. You would never go into another child's mouth.
Well, I'm the principal of my practice. I don't even know how that would be possible.
No, but I'm saying if I was in control and I could fire Ryan Pace and his next-door neighbor, I would. I don't have that power, so please don't fear me.
All right. I just think it's important to keep in perspective some of these things. You know, sports are a passionate business for people. I'm a huge fan myself. I love tennis. I play it year-round, indoors, outdoors, clay, grass. I enjoy playing on any surface that I can get my feet onto. But I leave the prognostication to the professionals, and I would certainly never fire Yvonne Lendl's neighbor because Mr. Lendl didn't make it past the quarterfinals.
Let me ask you a question. Do you get any quiet time with Mr. Pace?
You know, he comes over, we play Settlers of Catan, and we play for stakes.
Is he good?
He's fantastic. He creates universes and kingdoms more quickly than you can imagine.
All right.
Tom, we appreciate you calling.
Thank you so much.
Don't hold it against us. Only Jeff. There you go, Eli. That was good. That was really good. We're off to a roaring start here,
Catan.
What was the game?
Settlers of Catan.
What is that, like a Dungeons and Dragons thing?
No, it's a real, it was given to me as, you know, J.J. Abrams doing, you know, directing.
Oh, yeah.
He gave that to me as a gift one time. I have it in my closet.
Really asking if he picked a dog poop with his hand instead of a bag?
Well, I don't know. He didn't go there, you know. Hi, everybody. It's me, Jeff Garland, walking by. Isn't that exciting? I'm here.
The best, one of Jeff's best lines. I don't know if I'm allowed to give away one of my favorite lines from your special.
You can give away anything. There's plenty more where they came from.
Waddle, you would appreciate this. I want to talk about his Netflix special, Curb, coming up. I still want to ask him about the Clippers and if he's still.
Yeah.
He mentioned Ballmer just a couple minutes ago, but even though they're great now, is he still being treated like gold there?
Yeah.
So, super fan Jeff Garland's in studio. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow the show on Instagram. Check out the guys at Waddle and Sylvie.
We have the picture up right now on Twitter, then also on Instagram. Jeff, you're on the gram, aren't you?
I am on Instagram, at Jeff Garland.
You're not on Twitter, though.
No, Twitter, it's how long until I piss somebody off. And when I say somebody, it could be anybody. Twitter, I'm not a fan of. The Twitter people were very nice. They set me up. I went to San Francisco early on. I was an early adapter, but... No,
It's nasty on Twitter, really fast.
And so Instagram, you know, do you know truly the only people that write negative stuff? It's every time. I'll click over to see what their story is. zero posts, and they're private. Like, you have to, like,
right.
for, and it's like, really? You know, so they're there just to cause trouble. They're not there as a participant, but they are few and far between. Instagram, just delightful.
Isn't it give everyone the opportunity in some ways to be a critic, right?
Well, that's what the internet does.
Right.
If people wonder what the that's one of the negative things about the internet is that everyone has a voice. That's why, by the way, just because the internet's a beast that needs to be fed. I think the best name for a website was the Daily Beast, because it is a beast. And I got to tell you, so much of Me Too and accepting people's sexuality and not being racist, it's all thoughtfulness and common sense. There's nothing that in my mind that I would ever say or do to cross that line. I improvise my show every night. I'm never scared that I'm going to say something ignorant. I say ignorant things, but that's just out of stupidity, not out of the
you're right.
Out of being
not malice.
Not malice. I respect women. You want to make a transition into something? Want me to call you Coco? I'll call you Coco, but you got to tell me.
Will you call me Coco in the 3 o'clock hour?
If you're becoming something, yes, I will. The 3 o'clock hour is made for Coco. No, it's all kindness and people ask me if my comedy's changed because of the times. No. No comedian that I know who's funny has changed anything, because everyone I know is smart and thoughtful. They would never, you know, it's the people that aren't funny who are just shocking. They're the ones saying the stuff that offends right and left.
Who's your favorite comedian right now? If other than
John Mulaney, no doubt.
John Mulaney from here.
Yeah, he's from here. Yeah. John Mulaney. Unequivocally. Yeah, I love John Mulaney.
That's awesome. And so Jeff's special is on Netflix right now, Our Man in Chicago.
Yes.
And this was 37 years. He recorded this 37 years to the day of his debut as a stand-up comic, which is amazing.
I had no idea until the night before that it was the anniversary.
Really? That's fate right there.
It blew my mind.
So I want to get into the special, and I want to share a couple of things, and you could promote that, and I want to talk a little about Curb, and of course all
Chicago
sports.
Guess what I want? You want my what I want is
what do you want?
Just to be here and be accepted.
Well, thank you.
Thank you,
Jeff Garland, in studio with us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.